Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Lord, Thou hast assigned me my portion and my cup, and hast made my lot secure. My security, ladies, lies in my absolute conviction that nothing ever has or ever will touch me that doesn't come through the hedge of the love of God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Neither what happens today nor what happens tomorrow, neither principalities nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation. Now, you've heard Romans 8:28. You know that verse backwards and forwards. All things work together for good to them that love God. Are there any exceptions in the word all? Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. Well, but what about this drunken, swearing husband? Are you going to tell me that that fits into God's pattern for good? Yes, I am going to tell you that because I got it right out of this book here. God works evil ultimately for His own purposes. And there are story after story after story in this book that tell us exactly this. I just finished reading Genesis. I'm in Exodus right now, and I was reading that amazing story of Joseph. And in the end, the very last chapter in Genesis, you remember when he has finally revealed to his brothers who he is, and he has managed to save their lives from starvation, and they are terrified because they know that he has the power to put them to death. He says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." What the brothers did was wrong. You see, we are not denying the reality of evil and sin and disaster and trouble. We Christians are the people who look most unflinchingly at the reality of suffering. There is no other religion in the world that deals head-on with the reality of suffering. It is evaded, it is denied, it is ignored, or in some way simply erased in all the other religions of the world. But we have a Savior who suffered. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And what they did to Jesus was wicked. He was put into the hands of wicked men. That's what the Bible says. But God meant it for our salvation. And what Joseph's brothers had done to him was wicked. It was murder. It was murder in their hearts. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So I can say with confidence, everything that happens, literally everything, no exceptions, fits into God's pattern for good if we love Him. Because loving God puts us in a different category, a different world, really. We're still living in this world, but we have a different principle of life. We are controlled totally by a God who loves us, and we respond. As Paul says, we have to receive it, respond, accept it. So instead of looking for solutions and answers and explanations, let's remember, all we need to do is say, "Yes, Lord, show me what You want to teach me." God is not necessarily going to fix that thing that troubles you, or get you out of it, or change that person that you would like to see out of your life. God wants to teach you of Himself. Are we determined to find peace? Are we determined to protect our own worldliness? Think about that. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." And the sword has to cut between us and the worldliness. And it's after the struggle against the world that we find his peace. You know, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." But he also said, "I didn't come to bring peace, first of all, but a sword. And that sword is going to cut." The last thing, verses 17 and 18 in 2 Corinthians 4, talk about that weight of glory. And the important thing that I want to particularly emphasize here is that we are to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And the metaphor here is the old-fashioned kind of scales where you have an arm with two suspended pans, and you put all the weight of all the troubles that you've ever had in your life, the light ones and the heavy ones, on one side, in one pan, and in the other pan, if you have received those troubles as from God, he puts that weight of glory that is something mysterious and unimaginable. And you know, that pan with all your troubles in it is going to seem as though it contains nothing but feathers, and the weight of glory will be like lead. There's no comparison between all that weight of trouble and suffering and sorrow and the weight of glory that God is promising for us. And our minds boggle in trying to imagine what that's like. I don't know what the weight of glory is. God has given us just enough hints so that we know it's beyond anything we can ever imagine. But what does this teach us? It teaches us that Jesus Christ is determined to anchor the minds and hearts of his people in reality, with a capital R. It's the invisible things that are permanent. He wants to anchor our minds up there. Now, Lord, this little trouble that's uppermost in your mind today, this thing, Lord, help me to see it in the light of eternity. Help me to see the triviality of it by comparison with that weight of glory. And help me to learn the lesson that this thing brings me the opportunity to learn by receiving it with both hands. When I became a widow, I had to learn to say, "Yes, Lord." I didn't want to be a widow. I wouldn't have chosen to be a widow, not in a million years. I'd waited 5.5 years for Jim Elliot. We had 27 months of marriage. I couldn't change the fact that my husband was dead. There are a whole lot of things that we can't change. The mice and the frozen pipes, yes. A dead husband, no. A drunken husband, no. Not except God intervenes. He wants us to fix our eyes on the things that matter and to say, "Lord, I know that this has not touched me by accident. I know that it didn't happen because your attention was deflected for a moment and you forgot about me. It has come through the hedge of his love." The essentials and the non-essentials are what God is constantly working at. There are many stories in Scripture that illustrate this, and again in the Gospels where we see Jesus' encounters with individuals. And a passage that has really struck me is Luke 12, where Jesus has been teaching the people, trying to show them that they were not to be afraid of those who kill the body. Now imagine trying to tell that to people. Don't be afraid of the people that can kill your body. And then he says, "The hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." There's one of the statements that show us how exquisitely minute is God's attention to everything that touches us. If the hairs of your head are numbered. Now, every morning when I comb the hair out of my hairbrush, I couldn't even begin to count the number of hairs that come out. God knows every single one in my head. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those that kill the body. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Verse 11 says, "Don't worry if you're brought into synagogues before rulers and authority," if that wouldn't be a terrifying experience. Jesus is saying, don't worry, don't be afraid. I am in charge. I know the answers. And what happens? Immediately when he shuts his mouth, somebody comes up with one of these questions about, but what about my case? Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I don't think he'd heard one word Jesus said. He was only concerned about money, and perhaps a very violent and hateful brother who perhaps was doing something very, very wrong. And Jesus refuses to pay any attention to that particular problem. He points to the man's own greed, and he says, be very careful. And he turns him to the things that are really essential. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Does that ring a bell with any of us? We can listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, and we walk out the door and we think, now what is the Lord going to do with this impossible mother-in-law of mine? Bring it to him. But if you've learned something, perhaps it will give you a different aspect, a different view of the whole thing. These little troubles, they come to all of us. We're made of the same stuff. They involve little deaths, point two. And last, Jesus is determined to anchor our minds and our hearts in the indestructible, the real, and the invisible. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.